The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 44, the verses 14 through 34, and afterwards from the Canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine, the Articles 5 and 6. Genesis 44, beginning with verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also, with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. And then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant my father said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. And now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. From the canons of Dort, the fifth head of doctrine of the perseverance of the saints, Article 5 and 6, Article 5. By such enormous sins, however, they very highly offend God, incur a deadly guilt, grieve the Holy Spirit, interrupt the exercise of faith, very grievously wound their consciences, and sometimes lose the sense of God's favor for a time, until on their returning into the right way of serious repentance, the light of God's fatherly countenance again shines upon them. Article 6. But God, who was rich in mercy, according to his unchangeable purpose of election, does not wholly withdraw the Holy Spirit from his own people, even in their melancholy falls, nor suffer them to proceed so far as to lose the grace of adoption and forfeit the state of justification, or to commit the sin unto death, and nor does he permit them to be totally deserted and to plunge themselves into everlasting destruction. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is thy good, thy providential, thy gracious, and thy sparing hand that has brought us together in this evening hour of this workday within the walls of thy house of prayer. And, O Lord, may it be a house of prayer indeed. Thou knowest what prayerless creatures we are of self. To that end, grant a spirit of prayer and of supplication, and then we need thy dear Son at thy right hand to be that atoning, that praying and thanking high priest. Then thou wast also given many reasons in the midst of the trials of life, that in this evening hour it may be a house of thanksgiving. In this day we have been the recipients of so many blessings from above. Then thou wast yet made a difference, yea, a great difference with so many upon the face of the earth. Were so many in this week, in this day, were ushered into that never-ending eternity by means of sickness, accidents, not from thy side, old age, and other reasons, and we may still be in the precious day of grace. The earth still carries, the heavens covers, and it is the day that thou art still gathering thy church unto thyself. Then in this evening hour, then by renewal, then thou placest the preacher in the sky with the moon, when it may shine in its brilliance to reflect the light of the sun. And thou wast promised in thy word, they shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon, throughout all generations. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant a humble and a broken heart, with the profound impression of our sinnership, of all of our sins, also of this day. Then thou knowest most perfectly how that each boy and girl, each young person, and older one has come up to thy house. How may there have been those that have earnestly begged thee, that it may please thee in this evening hour to grant a new heart, a heart that fears thee, a heart that loves thee, and a heart that needs to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, do then richly bless thy word. Thou wast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Ah, would it not be to thy honor, the honor of a triune God, with a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, when it would be heard that many sons and daughters were born in Zion. May there have also come up souls, thou hast a people, that struggle much with that stony, with a hard heart. Ah, may souls have come up that have begged of thee, that that heart may be softened, that it may be humbled, that it may become contrite, an enlarged heart with that vehement desire to praise thy great and worthy name. Ah, souls that have come up with a thirst and with a hunger, and that have asked thee for an enlightened heart, because thou hast a people upon the earth that need to be taught all the way by thy Spirit, and they learn that they are so ignorant, that they need thee as their prophet, they have chosen thee as their Lord, but to be instructed in that priestly office by a true eye of faith, by saving faith, to be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and also that they may be given to behold that the sword that has been awakened against the shepherd, that it has been placed back in the sheath, and it is the desire of thy true church to be given to behold the same, to receive that assurance of faith. Ah, thou hast a people that need to be administered out of thy fullness and receive grace for grace. Lord, be then an almighty, a wonder-doing, and a merciful God in this evening hour, with an impression that thy holy and perfect justice demands a perfect satisfaction, and that is a satisfaction that no man can bring. Wilt thou so bless thy word in the family circles, in the church, and in the Christian school? We commend thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto thee. Oh, do continue to uphold the persecuted church. Remember all mission work. Remember the Jewish people. Oh, with war, with suffering, with death, may the war be used, that by the work of the Spirit, that the veil may be removed, that they may be given to experience in their heart as guilty, hell-worthy sinners, that the true Messiah has come, that he has suffered and died, sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering a people out of all nations, and also the Jewish nation. We commend unto thee all the temporal needs. Lord, there are those with grave concerns, waiting for surgery, further consultation. Ah, do grant them a special place at thy footstool, and that there may be times, as with the psalmist, when my soul was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path, and with a profound impression that without thy blessing the means cannot and shall not avail. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, and that all the callings, that they may be sanctified. Lord, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Ah, do continue to uphold them, and to comfort them, and above all out of that mourning, that an other mourning may have or still to be born, and that is a mourning about our sins, that we have sinned against such a holy and such a good-doing God. Remember all the elderly ones in the evening of their life. Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? And then, Lord, we also lay before thee the concerns of moisture for the earth. Ah, then we have to confess, nothing to plead upon. Our country has departed so far from thee, But the church, so many also have become so worldly conformed. Ah, wilt thou grant that repentance? Because the psalmist has said, when I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help. May it please thee to take the service over, that we only need to be thy mouthpiece, and that thy word may be richly blessed, accompanied with power divine, and that the outgoing of this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Ah, Lord, do hear us. We are but a company of poor sinners, undeserved, forfeited. But, ah, Lord, it is not our cause. It is not our kingdom, not our glory, but it is thine. And to that end, ah, we beg of thee, wilt thou richly magnify thy great and worthy name, the works of a triune God, richly in the midst of us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy, answer me. And what follows, Psalter 240, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture that was read, Genesis 44, the verses 14 through 34, and we shall read the verses 32, 33, and 34. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. Our text words speak of Judah pleading for Benjamin before Joseph, with four thoughts. In the first place, Judah returning to Joseph. Secondly, Judah confessing before Joseph. Thirdly, Judah pleading with Joseph. And in the fourth place, Judah offering himself to Joseph. Judah pleading for Benjamin before Joseph. Judah returning in verse 14. Judah confessing in the verses 15 and 16. Judah pleading in the verses 18 through 31. And Judah offering himself to Joseph in the verses 32 through 34. Thus first, Judah returning to Joseph. Beloved congregation, we have already heard wonderful things concerning the brothers of Joseph as a beautiful type, the way that the Lord holds with his true people. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, if it is still all a strange matter, oh, beg the Lord and faithfully use the means of grace that it may please the Lord to teach you those things that need to be known. Shall it be well for time and for eternity? May I ask you, congregation, how is it with your sacks? The sacks with all the blessings of the Lord, the sacks with all our sins, have they been opened yet in beginning? Have you become exercised therewith? Because they shall all be opened. And blessed that people, where they may be opened here in the time, those holy exercises concerning the salvation of our soul. Because if that does not take place here in the time, what shall it then be? When at the day of our death and on the great day of judgment, then our sack shall be opened. and then we shall not have an answer to 1,000 questions. And then that greater Judas shall not appear, but then it shall be forever and ever too late. Those brothers of Joseph have experienced wonderful things. There were mysteries, riddles, and perplexities. Have such souls come up in this evening? Riddles that you cannot unriddle. Perplexities so mysterious and so busy with that returned money. Busy with your sins. Oh, we have heard that the brothers on the second time, they have experienced wonderful things. That Stuart has spoken peace to them. As Simeon was brought out of prison, and then they have come into Joseph's house where they were making ready those presents that they may present them to Joseph. And they were even privileged to dine with Joseph, a meal of communion and joy. And without a true knowledge of Zephna Penina, and still stepping over the guilt of selling Joseph. But we have heard at last time, when they were barely out of the city, the servant has come, and then the sacks were opened. Because the servant has said, the silver cup of Joseph that has disappeared. And then they have opened the sacks, beginning with the oldest to the youngest, and then boys and girls. You know the story. It is true. It is written at the beginning of this chapter that the money was placed on all the top of the sacks. But in this chapter, there's not so much notice taken of the money. But then the servant with Benjamin's cup, he has held it up. The silver cup. And then we read that they have returned back to Joseph's house. Then that silver cup, that is an emblem of our original sin and the necessity, what I read in Ezekiel 8, verse 6, but turn thou yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. Then Ezekiel was called upon to dig deeper in the well, in the wall. Thus the cup, the evidence was against them, and then they were called to return. We do not read what taken the sacks off their asses. We read that they have done it speedily, but we do not return that they have so speedily returned to the house of Joseph. Thus then we have those brothers returning. Oh, they are a type of a people who by the work of the Holy Spirit have come in the grace house, in the workhouse, because we have heard that they were continually busy with that money, and they were so busy with that returned money They have also come in the gospel house, where the peace was spoken unto them. They have received hope, although Joseph was still hidden for them. And now when they return to Joseph's house, they would go to the courthouse. And then, boys and girls, we can picture those brothers with their sacks following the steward. Then I do not think that they have said so much. Then they have become silent. But yet there was a difference in the hearts of those brothers, because there were especially two that were especially exercised and burdened when they have returned. There was that little Benjamin. He has received the promise. He has heard it, that his older brother would become surety for Benjamin. Thus a Benjamin with a promise. But now on the way back to Joseph, oh, then it cannot be different, that there were exercises concerning that promise. What did Judah now really fulfill what he has promised? Are there souls that are exercised with a promise concerning the wonderful things of grace? But now also for a Judah, when he has returned to Joseph's place, then he became exercised in a special way with what he has promised to his father. Thus in our chapter, then we have two types. We have a type of the living church exercised with the things of the Lord, with returned money, and with that silver cup. But in our chapter, we also have a beautiful type of the greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become the surety for his people. And now we read in verse 14, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, people of God. How is it now with Judah? They especially mentioned Judah and his brethren. Oh, there was already a pointing to Judah. In Genesis 29, verse 35, when Leah has received Judah, now I will praise the Lord. And Father Jacob in Genesis 49, he would speak more of Judah. But the first time they have come to Egypt, then we do not read of Judah. In the beginning of chapter 43, then we read of Judah, that he has promised suretyship to his father Jacob. But further in that chapter, then we do not read of Judah. And it is so needful that we come to a saving knowledge of that greater Judah. Because they read in John 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Maybe a few souls in my midst that say in this evening, that is now my picture. 'Tis not all a strange language what I have heard concerning those brothers with the dealings with Joseph, But if I am honest, then it is still with the saving knowledge of that greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read, and Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. That also was special significance. Can understand, children, that Joseph, the second in command in Egypt, he was a very busy man. But after those brothers left, then Joseph did not go to his business and to the storehouses, but he has waited in his house for those brothers to return. Oh, what a beautiful emblem of the Lord that is waiting for poor sinners, for his people, to oftentimes come at the throne of grace in the way of prayer, thanksgiving, with those true exercises. Oh, we read in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, oh, my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance and hear thy voice, for thy voice is sweet and thy countenance is comely. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. That was necessary for those brothers, for the case to be solved. That is necessary for the Church of God, with the dealings concerning their soul. Because our children can understand it. If we come to the courthouse with a summons and the judge is not there, and there are souls that understand it, then that soul must return with an unsolved case, a continual court case. Of course, then it can happen when they come to the courthouse that the advocate is present and that he speaks comfortably to their soul, that he may encourage and tell such a soul what he has done for his church, that he has paid the price. For those brothers, it was necessary that Joseph would be present. And now when they have returned, our second thought, Judah confessing before Joseph. Now that returning, coming in the presence of Joseph, that was very different than former times. The first time, they have come with money to buy corn, and they were true men. The second time, more difficult, of course, because they had to explain when they came home that the money was in their sack. What a mystery that can be for the child of God. Then they have come with their presence. Then they were still worthy men. But now this time when they have come to Joseph's house, the evidence was against them. They were not true. They were not right men. They only had one hope, and that was that the governor of Joseph would be very, very merciful unto them. And then they have appeared before Joseph. And then for these brothers, they have experienced what I read in Romans 3 verse 20 of a people who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And therefore in verse 20, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then they have returned. Then for those brothers, then Judah has also received more value, because he has led them, he has become their spokesman. And then we read that they have fallen before the Lord, and they fell before him on the ground, and that falling they have bowed before, but this time was different. They have bowed deeper, nothing to say, nothing to plead upon. Undoubtedly Joseph has placed that silver cup that was found in Benjamin's sack, maybe on a table. It's possible the money, but that we do not hear. The evidence was against them. And then we read that Judah starts speaking. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? People of God, how far can we come? Do we still come before the Lord with our works, our tears, experiences cannot be missed? But now to come to the place, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring a sinner to the place with a confession of their sin, nothing to plead upon, 1,000 times hell worthy, only one hope, and that is mercy, and mercy alone. They have come, they have rent their garments. Cannot be missed, that true repentance. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. But those brothers, they have learned that with their rent garments, it would not undo what they have done. That silver cup which has been found in Benjamin's sack. Oh, then Judah said, he has become spokesman. We read those precious words in Deuteronomy 33 verse 7. And this is the blessing of Judah. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Then those brothers, they needed a mediator, an intercessor, one that would stand between them and Joseph, whom they have offended, one that may speak for them. Oh, then we read that Judah, we read in the book of Amos of a people that have become skillful in lamentation. And in Romans 8, verses 26, that Paul has written to the church, we know not to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Ah, then you can see it, boys and girls. Joseph, the silver cup, those brothers on the ground, they have bowed. The dreams of Joseph have been fulfilled. What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? And yet, the type is not perfect. Because the brothers and Judah, what was now missing in those hearts? That the Spirit works in the hearts of God's true people. Those brothers in Judah, they have come to Egypt because of need, because of corn. Why do we come to the throne of grace? Only for corn, temporal blessings, and of course we have been taught all right and proper. But is there now also love? And that is a profound difference. Ah, for the true child of God. They do not only come with their needs, but they come with true saving faith. And they come with a heart full of love. A love to the Lord, His law, also His justice, an eye upon His glory. Ah, for that guilty people. How busy they can be with death and judgment and eternity, hell and heaven, and what it shall be in hell. Ah, then it can even be. They know it cannot be. But on account of that love, because they can live, they can miss everything upon this world, although we have our daily needs, but they cannot miss the Lord and His blessing. And then can even be that such a soul is given to ask, Lord, I have deserved it 1,000 times, a place in hell. But, oh Lord, would it then be possible to have a little corner? Because then to think that they have to listen a whole eternity, that God shall be cursed and mocked. They know it cannot be, but they can even ask that if it would be possible, that in a little corner they may still bow and honor the Lord. For the brothers, that love was not missing. They have not given such a good report. When they have come, the governor, he was so stern. How shall we clear ourselves? Thus we have a people that is worked out and talked out. God have found out the iniquity of thy servants. In this chapter we read that they have mentioned my Lord 6 times and thy servants 12 times. And Judah was skillful in oration to win the favor of Joseph, but more so for the Lord's people. They have made that good choice of a Ruth, that he is my Lord. With the confession to be servants and to be handmaidens, But now Judah has used the special word, God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. There are three special words in the Hebrew language that speak of sin. The one is sin. That means to transgress a law. And that comes from a word, a root word that means to miss the mark. Then the second word that is transgressions. That means to trespass a boundary. If there is a fence, boys and girls, and it says no trespassing, and we climb over that fence. But now the word that Judah has used, that means a word to be warped, twisted, and perverted. What a profound word that Judah has used. When that silver cup was found in the sack of Benjamin, then Judah in all honesty was given to confess. And further, behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. Then here Judah, he resembles those servants of Benhadad in 1 Kings 20. Benhadad has went war to Israel. They were defeated. They have come in the city called Aphek. And then they have discussed matters, and they have said, we have heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. Thus then they have sent some servants with ropes about their neck, and so they have went to the king. And then we read that they have listened to every word that the king of Israel has spoken, and that they caught on to the words. Then it is clear in this chapter that Judah had opportunity to return, because Joseph has said, and he said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Thus Joseph has given permission for Judah and the brothers to return. What a beautiful type we have of the greater Judah. Oh, in the council of peace, there he has become surety for his whole church. Promised to give himself, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, lo, I come, the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, and thy laws written within my heart. Oh, then the greater Judah. Think of John 18. When Judas, religious leaders and the Romans have come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. What precious words. If ye seek me, let these go their way. The disciples, the whole church. The willing Judah, of course. With the greater Judah, it was much more profound. Judah has offered himself to be surety, substitute for Benjamin, but the greater Judah. not only surety, not only a servant, but a servant that would have to die the death of the cross, all the willingness of the greater Judah. Our third thought, Judah pleading with Joseph. Let us first sing Psalter 102, the four stanzas. The first four stanzas. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. And what follows, Psalter 102, the first four stanzas. Judah pleading for Benjamin before Joseph. Judah returning, Judah confessing, and now in the third place, Judah pleading with Joseph. Then Judah and his brothers, as a type of the convicted church, Judah has poured out his heart and declared that he was very guilty. The brothers, the silver cup was found. But Judah has remained there. What an instruction, people of God. Oh, what blessed and sweet places when we may pour out our heart, confessing our sins with bitter tears, a pleading upon mercy, no rights, only right, the only right that is the bottom of hell, but then not to return. Oh, for souls, what an instruction to remain at the throne of grace. And then it is even mentioned that Judah arose and he came near. Thus at first they have bowed themselves at a distance after the confession of guilt. Then Judah has come near and bowed by renewal. And then he said, "Oh, my Lord," in Genesis 42, verse 10, when Joseph said, "Brothers, ye are spies, you are come to seek out the land," then those brothers have said, "Nay, my Lord." In Genesis 43, when they have come the second time, and when they spoke to the steward, then they have said, "Oh, sir," a title of respect. But now Judah is given to declare, "Oh, my Lord," of need, of urgency and distress. And then he was given to ask Joseph, "Let not thy anger burn against us." Ah, oh, that is such a burden for the living child. The burning wrath of a just God on account of their sins, and they learn that their sins, if they are not pardoned, it shall sink them lower than hell. Oh, that burning anger, what bitter tears are wept, what a crying unto the Lord. And now concerning that anger, there can be times. Think of those brothers when they have dined with Joseph. Then it seemed that it was all covered. But now with that silver cup present, then they have felt the burning anger of Joseph that that cup was found. And then further, then Judah was given to plead. And then he has confessed and told much to Joseph. He was given to plead upon what has taken place. And in that pleading, he has confessed the sins, also former sins. Because he has told Joseph that his father Jacob, oh Benjamin, his life was bound up in the lead, and he was given to tell of a brother that was no more. Thus with that confession, we have sung it together out of Psalm 25, where David says in the seventh verse, "Sins of youth, remember not." Oh, then for Judah, it cannot be different. when he is laid before Joseph as an angry judge, when he has confessed concerning that brother the sin against the fifth commandment. He had not honored his father and mother, because Joseph has brought an evil report. And the sixth commandment, they have sold Joseph. It is true, Judah has yet pleaded, but that his brother was dead. They were murderers. And Judah guilty of the seventh commandment. It's written in Genesis 38. Guilty of the eighth commandment. They have robbed the parents of much honor, of much comfort. The ninth commandment. They have not told the truth when they have returned with that coat dipped in blood. And the tenth commandment, they were envious and jealous of Joseph with his dreams. Thus Judah, and that pleading, then he has confessed. We have mentioned all the commandments of the second table. Then Judah is laid there as a sinner, undoubtedly. Much has come back. Also the anxious look of Joseph when he was sold into Egypt. I read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sins will find you out. And that is so necessary that that takes place here in the time before an all-knowing, a good, and a just God. Then Judah has confessed that he was very guilty. Oh, then Joseph, how closely he must have listened. Because it can be so close together in the book of Judges, we read that he, Gideon, has listened, Sibboleth and Shibboleth, not so much difference. But the difference between the precious and the vile. Then how Joseph must have listened, whether there was any jealousy, any envy left in the hearts of those brothers concerning Benjamin, that he had a special place in the heart of Jacob. When Judah has spoken, who do you think that has listened best, boys and girls? Of all those brothers, who do you think that has listened the closest? Who listens the best in church? Those whose ears have been opened by the Spirit, and where it is not all a strange language. And then what a privilege it is if we may listen as a Benjamin. Because it was in Benjamin's sack that silver cup has been found, concerned especially him. Oh, are there such Benjamins in my midst? We have mentioned a Benjamin. He had a special place at that mealtime. He received a special and an extraordinary portion, more than those brothers. O Benjamin has heard of the promise of Judah. And now when they have stood before Joseph, then that promise that received special value. But now Benjamin needed the fulfillment of that promise. Our forethought, Judah offering himself to Joseph. And then we read that Judah has explained before Joseph what has transpired in his father's house before they left the second time to buy corn in Egypt. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Thus Joseph, I have become surety for my youngest brother Benjamin. And I have declared to my father that I was willing to take his place to be the substitute, that Benjamin may return. And I have even said, then I shall bear the blame forever. Ah, then we see the uprightness and the confession of Judah. Because in two verses, verse 29 and 31, then he has spoken of the gray hairs of his father, that they would not bring his father to the grave. I hope, boys and girls, that you have much concern about your father and mother, and that you do your best to please them. Those are the happiest boys and girls, not perfection. And that you ask the Lord to help. But now with that confession, oh, it must have been the rejoicing for Joseph when he heard such words from Judah as spokesman on behalf of his brothers, because in the early years, they were not so concerned about the hairs of their father Jacob. But now it has become their guilt. And then he has said, then I will bear the blame to my father forever. Then Judah has declared that he has become responsible for his brother Benjamin. Oh, what a beautiful type of the greater Judah, the Lord Jesus Christ, wherein that council of peace, that the greater Judah, that he has come forward, that he has offered himself to be that mediator, that intercessor, that his church may be saved, and reverently speaking congregation, then for Christ to return to his Father after the state of his humiliation, in the state of his exaltation, and we say it with reverence, if Christ had now returned to his Father without fulfilling all the conditions of the covenant of grace, if Christ had returned to his Father without fully paying the price, without crying out, it is finished, then reverently speaking, then Christ would have to bear the blame forever, that there would not be a church, that there would not be sons and daughters, a great multitude that no man could number, that he would not return to the heavens. Do we not read in Psalm 68, verse 18, that he has ascended on high, that he has led captivity captive? Oh, then as it were when he ascended into heaven, then he has opened the heavens, and then he has taken with him the whole elect church, where he has finished the work in the state of his humiliation and in the state of his exaltation, that he shall gather that church, oh, young and old, the greater Judah. He is still gathering his church, and that church shall experience, the way of those brothers of Joseph. It shall not be a strange language to them, but now it is so needful. Oh, those brothers, they have made a few journeys, and so there can be a church that has an ongoing court case. But now the blessed place to come, because those brothers, they have come to the court case, to the courthouse, and there they were given to confess their guilt. They had absolutely nothing to plead upon, no money to pay. They have confessed that their iniquity has found them out, and then there was only one hope, and that is that Joseph would reveal himself to them. Ah, the Lord has a people where the Spirit works that need. Oh, with that vehement desire, oh, it is necessary that the gospel is opened, that the greater Judah, that he becomes so necessary, so suitable and so precious, that they may be given to see that his blood cleanses from all sin, that he has become the Lamb. But now that people, oh, at Judah, he has spoken precious words. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. Ah, that word instead, that is what the Spirit teaches his church, that Christ as the greater Judah, that he has given himself as the substitute, that he has taken the place of his people, that he has taken their curse, their death, and their hell, and therefore the church may be set free, and therefore the pleading, oh, with Judah, he could only plead upon what has transpired in the house of Father Jacob, but that greater Judah, oh, he does not only plead for his church, but he comes with his perfect sacrifice, with his blood, and presents it to his Father. Ah, then he declares, deliver them from going down into the pit. Ah, we read of those precious matters. We shall read it together, of that messenger, an interpreter, one among a thousand. Oh, of that greater Judah, who was come in the fullness of time, who was come to redeem his people, who has become the Lamb of God. Then we read in Job 33, verse 22 through 26, yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. That has been experienced by those brothers. But then, if there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. And then a Judah has finally said, for how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Thus a Judah was given to bow. A Judah was given to declare, more concerned about his father, the health and the life of his father, than of his own liberty. Blessed that people that may come to that place so exercised with the justice of God abounding, a perishing under the justice of God. Oh, in that way the Spirit makes room for that greater Joseph. Oh, are there souls that walk guilty over the world cannot deny what the Lord has done. Ah, the life of those brothers with that money and with that corn and with the tokens of favor, not a strange matter to them. Ah, there are times that it seems that it is all covered. And yet, when the Lord withdraws his favor and it becomes dark, then it is still an unsolved case. Oh, we have said it was necessary because of Judah had now come to Joseph's house, and if Joseph would not be present, then those brothers would have to leave, and still an unsolved case. But now when Joseph was there, then he has dealt with his brothers, and then Judah. Oh, in this history we have many beautiful and profound types also of a Judah. But oh, are there souls in my midst that with a desire, with an earnest longing, as a guilty, as an unworthy people, with an unsolved case, that they need that greater Joseph, that Zephaniah Peninnah, the revealer of secrets, the Savior of the world, that may reveal the Lord willing the next time. Then we hope to hear of that revelation. And what a precious revelation that is for a guilty sinner, a sinner that has transgressed all the commandments of the Lord, a sinner whose mouth had been stopped, worthy to be sent and cast away, and yet a sinner that cannot miss the Lord. Oh, a sinner that is given to confess that they are guilty, but no solution. Oh, then already in this chapter, then what a beautiful type of that greater Judah who would bear the blame forever. Ah, the salvation of the church that lies so firm in that covenant of grace, the electing love of the Father, the redeeming love of the Son, and the applying work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, then for the children of Israel, when they were close to the promised land, when Moses has spoken those blessings, then what a blessing it was when it was declared, and this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear the voice of Judah and bring his people unto him. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, word is missed. Those exercises with those sacks, the exercises with the money, the exercises with the payment, and the exercises concerning the silver cup, our Lord, wilt thou grant it by thy Holy Spirit, that there may be souls that may return to their home, and that they have heard they were excluded, that they still miss everything without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. Lord, we have heard of precious things. May there be a people that may be given to examine their hearts and ought to hear what they believe they have received, but also to hear what they yet miss. Oh, Joseph is yet alive. I am Joseph, whom thou hast sold, our Lord. May the missing become greater than their possessions, and may it please thee to grant a further benefit. Grant a prayer for one another, wilt thou graciously watch over us in this week. We commend unto thee a family circle who was called upon to bring a dear father to the grave. Grant unto thy servant words to speak. May the calling be sanctified. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings? Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 363, 1, 2, and 5. From the depths do I invoke thee, Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear, and what follows. 363, the stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.